Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Grab your Bibles, whether it's a paper copy or if you've got your electronic copies. You know where we are today. We're finishing up Psalm 139 this morning. Lord willing, we're finishing up Psalm 139 this morning. And this morning we're going to talk about search me, know me, lead me. This is how the psalm sort of begins, but actually this is how the psalm ends. And the psalm ends, I'll go ahead and let you know right now, the psalm ends with this as a prayer, as a request to God. And it's based on everything that David says about himself and about God in all of the verses leading up to it. And so he gives a great foundation for asking God for these things, and he has confidence in asking God for these things because of what he says and what he knows about God in all of the verses that lead up to the very end. So this morning we're going to just skip over most of the early part, and then we're going to get to the latter part of this psalm. If you'll remember, we started this with our anniversary end of September, and we started with Ephesians 2:10. This was our theme: for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you'll remember, we started here. It's been 3 weeks since we've been looking at this, so just a quick reminder of a few things. And so remember, the word workmanship is a really special word, and it's a word that sometimes is God's creation, but it's also a very particular word that also means it's like a fine, a masterpiece or a craftsmanship. And one of the reasons, as we look at this, so we are God's workmanship. He has created us for himself. First of all, God did not create you to work for him. That's not why you were created. God did not give you his life so that you could be his servant or his slave. That's what some people think. God made you and gave you life in Jesus so that he could have a relationship with you more than anything else. So that's the foundation of everything that we look at. If we get stuck in, oh, God wants me to do things, then we can get stuck in trying to do good works. We can get stuck in trying to earn God's favor. And for many of us, especially in Asia, there tends to be a culture of earning approval, right? I have to work to earn approval. Some of you may have felt that in your homes when you were growing up. And some of you may have felt, or you may have been told, that you just didn't measure up. Why aren't you as good as your brother or your sister? Or perhaps you were in school and there were other students who were better than you were in the class, and the teacher compared you to them, right? And why can't you do better? Why can't you be like that one? This is true even in the U.S. I've told you this before, but my brother, when he was in high school, had teachers tell him, why can't you be more like your sisters? Now, that's really what you want to hear when you're a teenage guy going into high school, right? But we all have dealt with these things. And when we come to Ephesians 2:10 and then Psalm 139, we see something about God, and we see something about ourselves that helps to give us the right balance for how we look at ourselves and also how we look at God. It's really important. And so Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10, this was our theme, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God created us in the very beginning. He created man in the very beginning, and he gave Adam and Eve things to do. And Adam and Eve blew it. And all the good things that God had planned for them were twisted by the enemy and messed up by the enemy. And then God gave us Jesus. And that's why Paul says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. When you are created again in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us old things are passed away. They've gone, they're past. All things have become new. And as you and I are in Christ Jesus, if we blow it, if we mess up, if we fall short, His grace is always there, and He is making us and remaking us new every day, every day. The mercies of the Lord, they're new every morning, right? And so you and I have hope. You and I have purpose. You and I have a calling that comes from God and our relationship from Him. And when God is working in your heart and life, He wants to erase and undo those unhealthy, unkind, and hurtful and wrong ideas of yourself, of who you are, of how valuable you are. You're good if you do this, you're bad if you do this, all of those things. You are of value if you can this. And He shows us in Him that we are of value. This is what Psalm 139 really is about. Now that's actually the whole message in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, right? Okay, so this was our background, and then we began looking at Psalm 139. So you could preach this one to me yourself because we've looked at this. Remember that the writer, David, as far as we know, although some say, no, maybe it was someone else, but as far as we know, it was likely David. David makes this statement that is just incredible. He says, "You have searched me and you've known me." If you go all the way through this psalm from beginning to end, you will find that not one time does David mention condemnation from God. And by the time that David writes this psalm, as far as we know, he has already been a murderer, a liar, and an adulterer, okay, by this time. But there is no mention of the condemnation of the Lord. And David comes before the Lord and he says, "God, you have searched me and you've known me." I want to encourage you this morning because some of you carry a very heavy load of guilt or condemnation, self-condemnation because of your past or because of how things are working out. And Psalm 139, David gives us another way of looking at our relationship with God. So he says, "God, you know me. You have searched me and you've known me." And he says this seven times. And remember, we talked about this before. The three parts are in this psalm are the knowledge of God that He has for us, the presence of God with us, and God's investment in us, His creation of us. Not something distant, but really up close. So I want to remind you of the three things that I've said before. It's not just that God knows everything, He knows me. It's not just that God is everywhere, He is everywhere with me. It's not just that God created everything, He created me. Amen? Amen. So we go through this first part, and this talks about the knowledge of God. I don't want to go back and preach it because we want to get all the way to the end this morning. So if you don't quite remember, you can look at it again. In this part, it talks about God's knowledge of David. And then we get to that verse that Crystal was really honest and said, "I don't like that." And it's the part about "you have placed your hand on me," right? I had cousins that lived on a farm, and I think there were five of them. And the guys would get outside. I mean, they were farm boys, and they were tough, and they were kind of rough too. And the biggest one, the oldest one, would get on his younger brothers Right. Not the girls so much, but he'd get on his younger brothers, and because he was bigger than they were, I mean, he could sit on them, and he had them. Did some of that ever happen to you? Johnny, did you ever sit on your... Never mind. I'm not... We'll ask Julia. He didn't sit on you, did he? He did. He did. There you go. Or sometimes he would just get his... Because he was quite tall, he would, like Johnny, he'd just get his hand on him and just... And they and the younger brothers would be so angry. And they'd be doing this. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill... They were rough. They were, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And the oldest one, who was bigger and taller and stronger than all of them, would just hold them like that because they couldn't get to him, which doesn't sound so great, right? And some of us, when we look at this, we get that feeling just a little bit. But as we have seen, this is not a control word. This is a care and protection word because we're precious to God. So you have placed your hand on me. You've placed your hand on me. And this picture of the hand is something that we see throughout this psalm. And it's really beautiful. It's really helpful. And to be honest, sometimes when we are going our own way, let me use my own example. There have been times when God placed his hand on me to keep me from doing something and to keep me from going somewhere that I didn't need to go. And I'm very grateful. I wasn't happy at the time, but I look back now and I think, oh, Lord, you saved me from myself, right? You saved me from myself. And so he saves us. He puts his hand on us because we are so valuable to him. Those are what the words say, okay? So we looked at that, and then he keeps on talking. We're just going through this. This is, again, about the presence of the Lord. And then we go a little bit further, and he says, we talked about this last time. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And then he talks about how the darkness is not dark to you. The night will shine like day. And rather than being, I want to remind you of this, rather than God being a stalker, right, following you everywhere, the picture here is of the darkness that we face sometimes, the things that happen to us, the sorrow that weighs our hearts, the disappointments that we deal with. All of us do. Some of us have more of this than others. And what David is saying here is that the darkness that I go through, the hardships I face, and the disappointments that weigh my heart down do not separate me from your presence and from your love, right? The world says, God, if you loved me, you wouldn't let this happen. I wouldn't go through this. They want to go their own way, but they don't want God's presence until something bad happens. Oh, God, you this and you that. Brothers and sisters, let us learn, God, you're with me, and even darkness will not separate me from you. And remember, we talked about this. Paul talks about this in Romans 8. Can anything separate us from God's love? A rhetorical question. Nothing can. Nothing can. Nothing can. Are you going through something hard this morning? Are you going through something difficult this morning? Do not believe the lie of the devil, who is trying to tell you right now, if God really loved you, this wouldn't be happening to you. That's a lie. That's a lie. And both David and Paul say, nothing, heaven, hell, nothing, angels, demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's Romans 8, and Paul, and he's talking, really, it's the same thing that David says in Psalm 139. Okay, now, ready, here we go. Let's get to the latter parts of this psalm. Ready? So now we shift focus and we shift gears. We've talked about his knowledge. We've talked about his presence. And the last part of this psalm talks about his personal and very intimate and interested creation of you. Okay? Of you. So let's look at it together. David writes, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." Okay, let's stop there first. Let's just look at verse 13, and then we'll look at verse 14, because verse 14 is the response of David to what God has done. And I want us to see that this morning. This is not a theological psalm or a psalm about the doctrine. This is what God is like. This is a very personal psalm about this is what God is like to me, and here's my response, right? Okay, so let's look at it together. He says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." Some translations, instead of saying mother's womb, they will say, the deep parts of the earth, okay? And which is interesting because when man was first made, he was made from the dust, right? He was made from the ground. And so David says, "My delicate inner parts." Now, I'm looking at some of you this morning, and you kind of feel like, "I don't have delicate inner parts. I'm tough. I'm a man." And I want to show you something here this morning. God has made you, and he has made me in all the ways that we are. And all of us have delicate inner things that are part of us. And all of us have strong things that are part of us also. All of us have that. And we're going to look at that in just a minute. And David talks about both parts. Here where it says, "You made the delicate inner parts of my body," it means something that's prepared. And it has to do with, it's like a jewel that is prepared. Okay, here's a funny part for you. Are you ready? The inner parts of my body. Do you know what that word is in Hebrew? You have made the delicate inner kidneys. That's what the word literally means, which to us seems a little bit strange. I know, Kathleen, really weird. She's looking at me like, what? But according to the world at that time, the center of emotions and feelings, it wasn't so much the heart, it was the kidneys. It was the kidneys. And so David uses the knowledge of that time. And he said, "You made all of those things." And it's a very feminine word. So those of you manly men here this morning, you still have, Andrew, little delicate inner feminine parts. Andrew's not sure about that. But you do. You know why I say that? Because God said that. Because God said that. God has made us in all of these ways. And so he says, so you knit me together, you put me together in my mother's womb. Now I know something about, where's Hannah? Is Hannah upstairs right now? Hannah. Oh, Hannah's gone upstairs. How many of you have seen Hannah up on the fourth floor doing something with her hands on Sunday morning? Apparently Hannah is now knitting. Right? Is that right, Mom? That's right. She has started knitting. And she's making all of these things. And it's a very special word. How many of you knit? How many of you know how to knit? Amazing. Wow. One of my grandmothers used to knit. I looked at it and thought, no, not me. But when you think about knitting, especially, oh, now you're all excited about knitting, right? That's okay, but I want you to think, you think about yourself. Now, I want you to think about how God made you in knitting. After a while, when you've been knitting for a while, you don't have to think about it so much, right? You can just kind of do it. But those of you, especially when you're in doing something intricate or in the beginning, you really have to pay attention to it, don't you? If you pull it too tight, it's going to look ugly. You have to count. And the picture that we have here is that God is really paying attention to you. You see, we live in a world where many, many people say, yes, there is a God, but he doesn't care about me, right? I think there's a God because this world or whatever, but he's far off and he's not really interested in my life. David tells us something different. Here's this picture of God so interested in you that he's knitting you together in a very, very special way. Now, what is the response of David? He says, "I will praise you," Oh, you know what that word is? Okay, Tobias, this is the word that we talked about a couple of months ago. This is the word yada, which means what? To raise your hands and praise the Lord. That's right. That's what it means. So people that say, I just don't like to raise my hands, don't talk to me about it. You talk to God about it. This is part of the way that we praise the Lord. We raise our hands. And so that's one of the words for praise. I will praise you. I will lift my hands in praise to you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is wonderful, and I know this very well. Okay, let's pause on that just a minute. We are going to get all the way to the end this morning. Here's where I want us to grab something this morning. As Christians, as people, we run the danger of going to one side or the other. If we're really talented, if we've done a lot of things, we can get a little bit arrogant and proud of ourselves, right? I've done this. I can do this. I've worked really hard, and look at my accomplishments. So we can be on this side as well. Or we can be on the other side, which is comparing ourselves to others or taking on board what parents or others have said about us, and we may devalue ourselves. And I know that some of you struggle with that. I haven't accomplished much. I've tried but this. And we can fall on either side. I'm not like others. Others are already doing this, 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 and this, and look at me, I haven't even done this yet. And we can fall on either side. Okay, grab verse 14. Grab verse 14 and look at what David does. He says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and remarkably and wonderfully made. Your workmanship is wonderful. This deals with the imbalance we have, whether we start to get arrogant or proud, which we do, don't we? Don't we sometimes? I'm all that. When David wrote this, he was the greatest king that Israel had ever known. He had slain Goliath. He had killed lions and bears with his bare hands. He was all that. But I want you to see what David says. David does not look to himself and think about how great he is. Instead, he says, oh God, what you have done is so wonderful. Yeah? Nor did David go to the other side and say, I have blown it so badly. I'm a murderer, an adulterer, and a liar. Instead, he focuses on God. So here's the balance for us this morning. If you have felt, I am not of value, I haven't been able to do this and others have, I am just this, then you need to come to verse 14 and take from verse 14 the truth that your value, Letty, your worth, Joseph, God's love for you, Gakay, God's treasuring you, Alana, is because of what he has done in your life. Amen? Amen. Bigger amen, but that's okay. And then he goes a little bit further. And he says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. And here again, we see the picture, okay? I was being formed. Do you see the picture of God's hand? This is not a cookie cutter. It's not a stamp, right? You're made, boom, God made you, boom, God made you, boom, 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 boom. But instead, it's so personal. It's the hand of God on you, in you, and upon you. And he says, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. This word woven means embroidered. Okay? Now, those of you manly men, again, this describes God's working in you. And I got something. I thought, oh, I'm going to bring this morning. I have a good friend in the U.S. who loves to do embroidery and cross stitch. And she just sent this to me, and she put a letter. She said, this is your Christmas gift. She's a very good friend. I've known her for I can't tell you how many years, and I just opened it yesterday, and I just wanted to show it to you. Isn't that beautiful? It's So it's a cross stitch with embroidery. It's a Celtic cross. Okay, isn't that lovely? I mean, it's really, really. And she's so skillful that even the backside, this is the backside. Backside looks almost as good as the front side, right? Yes. When I do cross stitch, you should see my back. You should see the backside. It's so messy. It's so bad. But she's really, really skillful. So this is the word that's used here. As I was woven together, as I was embroidered together. If you want to look at this later, you know what she told me in the letter? She said, you know, I like this design. If you don't like it, you know, you can pass it on to somebody else. I'm like, nobody's getting this except me, okay? But I wanted to, this just an example for us, because it's so beautiful, it's so intricate, and it gives us an idea of how God has his hand upon you in making you and in making me. Even though sin has messed us up, and you can look at it afterwards, I'm going to get it cleaned and framed. Even though sin has messed us up, right? Even though we have broken parts in our lives, God doesn't give up and God keeps working. And so David says, you embroidered me as I was woven together. And David is talking not just about himself, but he is talking about you and about me as well. This is how God has made you. Yeah. Has the enemy tried to mess you up and destroy you? Yes, he has. Who do you think has a greater hand upon your life? The enemy or God? God. That's an easy one. Okay? So as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Okay. Now, let's go a little bit further and look at this word. He says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. This word formed, now, we had the feminine gentle parts, right? All the intricate parts. Guess what? Formed is a different word, Johnny. That's your kind of word, okay? The word formed means power or strength, okay? And it's a masculine word. It's the strong part, okay? It's the skeleton, the bones. And like I said, it means power or strength. So, don't reject or be afraid of how God has made you in gentleness, in softness, in strength. God has made you in every part. And you and I are to be what God has made us to be. Because as he has made us, he has planned things for us to do and to be. Does that make sense to us? Okay, so it gets us on both sides. It's both feminine words and masculine words, and they're all in the same person, right? They're all in the same creation. Okay, let's go forward. Yes, we're going to finish. Okay, and then here's one of the hardest verses in the Bible. People really have a hard time, Bible scholars have really a hard time translating this. So some people look at this and they say, oh, everything is predetermined. It doesn't matter what I do. God has already planned. That's not what this verse means, although that's what this verse looks like, okay? Instead, look at the whole psalm, and what this means really is God knows everything about you. Look at what he says. He says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. Isn't that a great way to describe what you and I were inside our mother's body when there was nothing to be distinguished? Unformed. It was substance. And then it came together, and you came, you were created. Now, look at what he says next. Every day of my life was recorded in your book before a single day had passed. The other meaning of this is also this. Every part of me, it's either every day or every part of me was recorded before anything had happened. Both of these meanings are true here, okay? So it's not God knows everything and you have no choice. Instead, it is God knows you so well and he has made you and he's created you. Okay, before a single day passed. Now, I brought one other thing. You know I like to use examples, right? I brought a book here. This is my book. I will never show it to you unless I die, and then somebody cleans up all my stuff, and then somebody can read this. This book is very precious to me. This is my book, and I started writing in it some years ago. I've got notes in here. I've got dates in here. I don't have every day in here. I write cursive. That's I'm old school. This book is very precious to me because in this book I have recorded things that I felt God say to me, special things that happened from the Lord, verses that meant a lot. And maybe you have something like this. This is a very personal book to me. It's very, very personal. And Mom has never seen it. No one has ever seen it. It's between God and me, okay? And that's how it's going to stay. So I have this book. But look at this. Each day of my life was recorded in your book. Now, this is a really beautiful picture, and you say, is that the book of life? I don't know if it's the book of life. I don't think so. But I want us to think of this as we come to a close this morning. He says, all of me was recorded in your book, God, before anything came to pass. I want you to think of it in this way as we come to a conclusion this morning. God has made you, and God designed you in every way, the big things and the little things. I believe it's hypothetical, but you know, and it's a picture, but in God's book about me, the section that says Elizabeth Nolan, born 1958, November 12, yes, I am that old, there are things about what God has planned for me to do because he made me a certain way, just as he has made you a certain way with certain strengths. Some of you are outgoing. Some of you are a little bit quiet. God knows that, and he'll use that for his purpose. Really serious things in God's book. God knew that I would start out as an English teacher, but that one day he would take those skills and those gifts and I would become a teacher of God's word. God knew that, and it was recorded. But I also think that God said, and Jennifer is going to love cats. Now, that's humorous, but I mean it. Because you know what? That's a part of my life. So some of you are laughing because you don't love cats at all. I know, Brother Stephen, like I said, there may be an opening on the board. I'm just saying. But you know what? The things that you love, and this person is going to love music. And maybe Letty is going to love the beauty of, and the color of flowers. And that's going to translate into beautiful flower arrangements. All of us, that's just an example. Some of you that are sporters, God made that, and this person is going to be like this. And it's a picture of God's love and God's care for you. Does that make sense? What you want to grab from this really is that God has made you in his way, and all of these things are part of you because of God's great love for you. He says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God. I can't count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I'm still with you. You know, sometimes we think this and we think that. Here's the picture for you and for me. God's thoughts are always upon you. He's always thinking about you. You don't slip his mind. Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot. Sometimes I forget. Joshua, God is always thinking about you. And not only is he always thinking about you, he has many, many thoughts about you. And they're all good thoughts. They're all good thoughts. So let me just do one thing and just point out. If you're looking, you will see that between here and the end, suddenly David starts saying terrible things about the enemies of God. Oh, you wicked ones, I wish you would do this. I'm not going to put it up. You look at it on your own. And some of you might think, what? Why is that there? And it's probably there because David is showing my love for God, and people that don't love God, no, I don't want to be part of that. But that's not how I want us to end. I want us to end with this. Here's how we come to an end. So David says really strong things, okay? He says really strong things about the enemy. Slay the wicked. Get away from me. But that's not where he ends, okay? Get this. How many of you find it very easy to judge others and their weakness? Don't raise your hand. We all do, right? Is it not easy to say that person, blah, 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 blah? It is, isn't it? That person, it is. That's just kind of how we are, right? It's easy to look at others and blame them. And David makes this huge, oh, these wicked people. But that is not where he ends. Now, grab this with me in these last closing verses. David doesn't look at other people anymore. He closes with himself, right? Himself. And he says, oh God, search me. Oh God, forget others, brothers and sisters. I was fussing about something yesterday. I'll be honest, I hadn't had a lot of time to pray in the last 3 weeks. Just busy, just whatever. And you know what happens when we don't have time with God? We all know what happens. So I was climbing the mountain after about 3.5 weeks, and then I spent time with God. And you know what I did? I just prayed this. And I just said, oh God, search me. And I said, Lord, forget about this. Lord, me. Search me, oh God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. How many of you have anxious thoughts? Thank you. Yeah, we have anxious thoughts. Do you know what those anxious thoughts are? Anxious, worried. It has all sorts of meanings there. And then he says, see if there's any offensive way in me. The King James says, see if there's any wicked way in me. But it also means something else. It means, see if there is any, literally, way of pain. Got that? See if there's any way of pain in me. You see, brothers and sisters, you and I, in our brokenness and in our imperfection, all of us, we have things in our hearts and in our lives that if that's the way we go, it will bring pain. It'll bring pain. It will bring harm. It will lead us away rather than lead us to. And so I come and you come to the God who knows you completely, as we have just seen in Psalm 139 throughout the psalm. We come to him and we say, God, look at my heart too. Is there any of this in my life? I don't want there to be. If there is, Lord, deal with it. Take care of it. And you don't have to be afraid to say that to God, because we've already just seen how much he's invested in you, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much of a treasure you are to him. He already knows it all. So we go to him. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lord, are there things in my life that cause pain? It will cause me pain. It will cause pain to the people I love. Yeah? To the people I love. Sometimes that's harder for us, isn't it? When we hurt someone we love. But that happens when there are ways of pain. And so David comes to God, as you and I do. Search me, know me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In the way everlasting. Remember we said the way has to do with the pattern of our lives, the direction of our lives. And if we, as we come to the Lord, he'll lead us. He'll kind of, have you ever found yourself starting to go this way or that way? And then the Lord just kind of, he brings you back in. Lead me in the way everlasting. You can pray that to the God who has made you, who is always with you, who knows everything about you, and is completely invested in you, who has created you and embroidered you so perfectly. and so beautifully. And when it gets messed up, he just works on it again, because you are his creation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. You just pray for yourselves right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to say what David prayed in Psalm 139. Search me, I'll tell you what. Let me just put that back up. Why don't you look up here? You can pray it in Chinese or English. Let's just pray together this, okay? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, this is our prayer this morning. We trust you because you, as we have seen, you really, really, really love us. You are completely invested in our lives and in our well-being and in our future for good pathways. God, I pray for each one of us this morning that we would trust you, that we would know this about you. Lord, that we would have the right way of thinking about ourselves and the right way of thinking about you and valuing ourselves. Lord, that we are valuable not because all we've done or not because of all our skills and our talents, but because of you and your hand upon us. Lord, that we are not what other people say we are when they judge us, but Lord, we are who you say we are, and we are of value and we are your treasure. We thank you, O Lord. Lead us in ways everlasting this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That's it. Psalm 139. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.